So we are on a lesson four, and what we're doing is we're going to talk about Proverbs and how the Proverbs can be helpful as parents, all right? And so we'll be talking about, like, what's the purpose of the Proverbs, how are the Proverbs written, how do we use a proverb, how do we interpret the Proverbs, okay? So this first part's kind of a, you know, just a sharing. Not one particular right answer, but what are some things when you just think about parenting in general? What are some vital things that non-Christians would just want all their children to learn? Or what would lessons they would want to impart? So, not necessarily spiritual or gospel related. If you're a parent, you want your kid to learn what?
The importance of an education.
Yeah. I think so. Don't touch a hot stove.
Hygiene.
That's right. He's been in a high school. No.
I haven't. Manners.
Manners. That's right.
Manners. Responsibility.
Yep. Being responsible. Absolutely. Mowing the yard. My mom comments how in Texas, doesn't matter how rough looking the guys are, you know, they, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. So it's like there's a lot of things just passed on culturally from different places. What is anything else? That's it?
Good work ethic.
Yeah, working hard, for sure. And if you were to think about maybe you're raising your kids, and if you could separate, not that you would, but if you could separate the gospel and the spiritual truths from Bible, what are those key, are there any of those other key things that you think, I want to make sure that I impart this lesson to my kids?
The ability to read.
Yeah. Amazingly, there's many kids that come into kindergarten two grade levels behind. I don't know if that's possible, but
really?
Yeah, we're finding that, you know, what typically the exposure used to be in terms of books,
Sesame Street,
yeah, knowing how to hold the book and what a letter, you know, what letters are and sounds and language, it's strange because we used to think, look at test scores and where are they falling behind? Well, they're coming in very different backgrounds.
Yeah, I mean, I think work ethic is in the scriptures, but that would be the one, if I was a non-Christian Christian, that would be probably the, you know, just work hard and take responsibility for yourself.
Independence?
Yeah, not being dependent
not
on.
Not too early.
But yeah, right. Yeah, but I mean, building somebody who can self-sufficient.
Yeah.
And then when they leave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also able to work as a team, though.
Yeah.
Be able to get along.
Cooperating.
Yeah.
I know a big thing for us is just that their life is not about them, and that they kind of have a place and understanding authority. So how do you respect a teacher, a parent, police, you know, that type of thing, that this is how authority works. It's a big lesson. So a lot of these lessons that we're going to be looking at are lessons that are taught in the Proverbs. Some of our Proverbs aren't necessarily really just gospel focused. They're everyday life. And this is Solomon, you know, wrote this wisdom out mainly for, you know, from a father to son, parent to child type relationship. So that's what we're going to look at. And so let's look at the background first. One thing that's true is that the Proverbs of Solomon is not necessarily mean all the Proverbs were written by Solomon, right? It's kind of the title there. But God did give Solomon supernatural wisdom. We see that when God said, ask whatever you would want, right? I could give you riches, long life. But he asked for wisdom, okay? So, and one note here is that, I thought this is interesting, the word for wisdom is kind of has this idea of skill. So it's skillfully making decisions, weighing what should be done, what you could be doing, and choosing the right course of action. And it has a lot to do with what choices will produce what results, or what choices tend to produce what results. And that's going to be a helpful way to think about what a proverb is telling us. Okay, so let's look and think about interpreting. So this is kind of a bigger picture thing when we think about interpreting different parts of the Bible. But when we look at the Proverbs, Okay, there's a couple ways that we're going to be able to use them. So, Dave, I like the illustration here. A hammer can be used to insert a nail or to remove a nail, right? It's the same tool, but it can be used to do kind of opposite things. When do you use it for this one? When do you use it for the other? So let's look at these two proverbs. You guys will look and hand out Proverbs 26, 4, and 5. Ben, you want to get those?
Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes.
All right, so we notice that's contradictory, right? Don't answer a fool, but answer a fool. All right, so why do you think he would do it like this? You can chime in if you're a grammar literary. Not like they're in two different chapters. They're right next to each other.
Yeah.
Is it saying maybe to discern when to just let them be and then when to correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And like we see here, it each time it accompanies the action with what is likely to happen, right? Answer not a fool according to folly, lest you be like him. So it's it's a warning that when you answer a fool, it could happen. Mm-hmm. But also, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise. So if you don't answer him, this could happen. Right? So you've got this fool speaking, and it could go bad either way. But it's kind of giving you some warnings there. Okay? So, yeah, wisdom is that we're learning to discern when to stay quiet, when to talk. You guys know there's a couple included here. Can you think of any, like, our contradictory proverbs? Like, the one I thought of, Dave has in here, many hands make light work, right? The more the better. And too many cooks spoil the broth, right? So don't have too many. I was thinking when I was traveling, they would say, some people like, distance makes your heart grow fonder. And then the other was, out of sight, out of mind. Right? They're contradictory.
Familiarity is a mode of contempt.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, there's times when that there we can see that that's true. And there's other times where we can see this can happen. So you're kind of learning how certain things can come in different scenarios, but it's not a always going to work this way.
Yeah, I think that one back-to-back proverbs that seem to contradict, I think we've all been in situations where, okay, this guy's just running at the mouth. He thinks he's right, and you know these other people are starting to agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's other times where he's running at the mouth but taking a very aggressive posture in doing so. So if I were to speak up, it's going to just change the whole temperature of the room and ruin this party.
Yeah.
You know, so what do you do?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just, yeah. So part of Proverbs, it's not just the wisdom part, it's the how you wisely use them.
And I think that's a good thing to think about just in all the Proverbs, but we'll see that too with parenting. You know, when your child is acting foolishly, what should you do and at what time and how might that look? If they're acting foolishly, speaking foolishly, or how do you encourage them to be wise or to become hardworking, those type of things. And so kind of at the end here of our introduction, it says, in the same way, Proverbs are kind of these pithy sayings, and they kind of motivate a certain behavior. And so here's a little example of how a proverb might have been written and observed, right? So let's look at Proverbs 24, 30 through 34, okay? Jared, you want to read that one?
I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down.
Okay, so right there, right? The observer, right, he sees something, right? This guy, this person's a sluggard, disrepair, unproductive, and so he's thinking, what's going on here? And then what's the next verse?
Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction.
Yeah, so he's trying to draw out some kind of lesson from observing what he sees, and then what's his conclusion?
A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber that want like an armed man.
Yeah. So he's trying to impart that from what he's seen in real life around him, this is a lesson that can be learned, right? And one note is like, is he saying that all sluggards will always be poor? What do you think? No, why not?
Well, some people just, because of circumstances they're born into, they might never do anything and might be rich their entire lives.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Or is he saying hard work will always produce wealth? Not necessarily, right? But he observes that it tends to happen along those ways. This made me think of a funny story of, we were on vacation this summer, okay? We're at the Ark Encounter, and we get our lunch, we go sit down, and about 10 feet away, there's another family. And it was a very instructive example observed by little Ben, our four-year-old, because there's another 3 or 4 year old boy over here, and he didn't get something he wanted, and he just screamed, and he starts throwing this fit, and he's going, you know, everyone around is like embarrassed for the parents, and they're like,
at the Ark Encounter, no less.
At the Ark Encounter,
there's no judgmental.
No judgment. There. No judgment. It's almost like, yeah, almost like six parents getting ready to help. You know, like,
we'll spank him for it.
Come on, come on. And the parents are, no, you need to do that. You know, so. Just went on and on, and he kept looking, and finally, like, he needs a spanking, Dad. You know, like, he's like, wow. You know, like, he had never seen and observed such unmitigated foolishness, and just so it's like seeing it, and he sees what it's like, and like, oh, okay, so that's what I don't want to turn out to be like. So I think Proverbs a lot of times are this: we observe things like over and over, we see them, they kind of tend to be true. Mm-hmm. And so it's something where we have the wisdom and the blessing of not only Solomon and the authors of Proverbs passing on these observations, but as parents, you've lived long enough to really have experienced most of these pieces of wisdom where your kids just don't, maybe if I'm lazy all the time, things will work out the best. Like, they just don't have any clue, right? Zero experience.
If you wait long enough, somebody else will do the work for you.
That's right. That's right. Especially if you're a younger,
yeah.
younger child. Okay, so a couple of things about Proverbs as we're going to get into looking at them specifically. We're on page 3 here. So thinking about how they are kind of like a tool to help us understand different possibilities, we kind of have to have a little bit of caution when we're going to use the Proverbs and how we're going to read them, how we're going to apply them to our lives. And so these are some good questions to maybe ask. What virtue does the proverb commend? What vice does it hold up for disapproval? Or what value does it affirm? So think about that last Proverbs 24:30-34. Right? What was it, holding up a virtue, or was it disapproval, disapproving of a vice?
The sluggard one?
Yeah, the sluggard one.
Disapproving of a vice.
Right, so we're observing here, okay, I'm just supposed to draw out a lesson that it's disapproving of the vice of what?
Laziness.
Laziness, slothfulness, yeah. Right? And it's giving instruction. All right. And so we kind of hit on this a little bit. So what could be the danger if we were a parent and we read the Proverbs and we find Proverbs says this, that's God's promise. And so I'm going to apply that promise to the life of myself or my child or as a parent. How could that be dangerous?
You might set expectations that, you know, if I do this, then this will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And not always be the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you think of a specific example of?
Mm-hmm. Kind of like what we talked about earlier, if you work hard,
mm-hmm.
you become rich, or
whatever, right, right,
or vice versa. When maybe your riches might not exactly be monetary or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it might come in some other form.
Yeah. Yeah. What else? Any other dangers that could come from viewing it as the promises of Solomon instead of the Proverbs?
You'll feel like you failed if your children don't come to faith. And that can be a weight that you're not supposed to carry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You think you'd have like trained up a child in the way he should go?
Yeah, and he won't depart from it.
Right.
So I must have not trained him properly if he departed.
Mm-hmm.
That can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think about Proverbs about, you know, walking with the wise and growing wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. And if that's a promise, it may be that if something bad happens because I've been around the wrong people, mm-hmm. right? It's like, this is why this happens all the time.
It also just makes you trust God less because it looks like he breaks his promises
mm-hmm.
regularly.
Yeah.
And so then if those are true promises and you look at other promises of God in the same like
mm-hmm.
discounted way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you could because you can think of an example for almost every proverb
mm-hmm.
where, well, it's not true here, it's not true here, it's not true. So it's almost obvious if you really read through the proverbs that, well, there's no way these could have been written as promises because it seems clear even within its own book, you know, talking about, okay, these are not promises but observations about what generally happens in life to help understand the way that life operates, the way that the world operates.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think, so like you're saying, if it was promises, we would trust God less, but why do you think God would frame a lot of parenting, right? Because a lot of what he says about parenting is found in Proverbs. So why do you think he didn't just give us the commands and promises of parenting, and instead we have this book of wisdom? Why do you think it's that way, or how can that influence the way we think about parenting and God's word?
I don't think it's an exact formula.
Mm-hmm.
Or checklist, and that's where, because everyone's different, there's so many varieties of things in the world, it's...
Mm-hmm.
Can't make you all cookie cutters. You did
mm-hmm.
these four steps and you're success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You talked about variety. That's a huge thing. I mean, what are some ways in which families and kids can be different where the Proverbs might help to require wisdom? I don't know if that question makes sense. But
there's like personalities of, you know, you'll have the submissive, you'll have the deceiving child,
mm-hmm.
you'll have
mm-hmm.
strong-willed child. You know, just that's just people and human nature to where...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or circumstances. I mean, like, we had foster children
mm-hmm.
versus our own children.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely different parenting there.
Yeah.
We felt like we're like, oh, we can do this right, and they'll be, no. No, it was like, that was stupid.
We felt miserably.
Because you felt like you're like, oh,
you
we
just
can,
give them love and everything
yeah,
will be
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we
yeah.
can and we can teach them just like ours. No, you can't. Like,
we
I mean,
good
not,
home
I mean,
and, you know, there's just certain
was,
things that
yeah.
we
yeah.
thought it would definitely, yeah, reign with them, but it didn't.
Yeah. I mean, I look at our kids, like, in utero, they all had different behavior.
Yeah.
Like, Julia would do jumping jacks. And Amberly, we weren't sure if she was alive because she was just sitting contentedly.
Yeah.
And outside the womb, same thing.
Yeah.
Amberly could sit in your lap for four straight hours and be perfectly happy the whole time.
Wow.
Where Julia and Jake had to be up and about
mm-hmm.
and doing stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, every child's just a little bit
yeah.
different. And they're even different at different times. Like
yeah.
when you watch your kids go through puberty, there's all kinds of like crazy things happening.
Yeah.
That you were fine 5 minutes ago. What just happened?
Right. Or you're a foot shorter.
Why were you crying? You were just laughing. Now you're crying again.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just,
mm-hmm.
huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's so much variety within your kids. There's variety within your circumstances, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're employed. Sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're both working. Sometimes one is at home. Sometimes you're out traveling. Sometimes you're, there's lots of different scenarios you could talk about. How they work, you know, how they learn, like at school. There's so many different scenarios and a variety of cases. You know, sometimes they're under an authority that's godly, and then sometimes they might be under one that's not godly. And so learning how to apply, you know, all these different scenarios. Let's look at Proverbs 1:1-7, okay, and see, we're going to try and think about, well, what's the purpose? Noah, you want to get those? Proverbs 1:1-7.
Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. I can't read, sorry.
That's all right.
To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let those who hear increase in learning, and those who, and the one who understands, obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Okay. Right, so this is right at the beginning, right? The very beginning, the opening of the book. And so we're trying to think, what, how's this going to guide the way that we understand? Right, so looking at verses 2 and 3, what would we say, what's the purpose? What does he say is our purpose in Proverbs?
To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight.
Yeah. It's right there, right? And we can kind of look at the verbs there, right? To know, to understand. There's a receiving, right? To receive, but also to give, right? And what is it that, what was the object of those things? Wisdom, instruction, insight, okay? Instruction in wise dealing and in righteousness, justice, and equity. So there's so much in terms of doing right, being right, doing something that's wise, and the target, right? What is it? Who's the target? Who are we talking to here?
The youth.
To the youth. Also to
simple.
The simple, right? To the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. I thought it was also interesting that, look at verse 5, who also can be the audience?
The wise.
The wise, yeah. So that's something that I really try and, with my kids, even at school, I'm like, I try and encourage them that the brightest, the smartest, the wisest of you, right, you're going to still learn the most because you're really paying attention, trying to increase in what you understand. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, right, it's those who are the most foolish or ignorant that learn the least, and it's because they don't, you know, aren't pursuing this knowledge. So even the wise, when we read through the Proverbs, just encouraging your kids, no matter how wise you are, you can continue to, as it says here, increase in learning. Okay, and what's the basis? Where's the wisdom coming from? Yeah, fear of the Lord. Big theme in the Bible. Our kids, that's a good... The VBSs have done a good job of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's been something. And what's the reaction of the fool, right? So you have wisdom, you share it with the simple, with the youth, with the wise, and what do we see from those who are foolish?
Despise, reject.
Yeah, they despise it. That's an interesting one, like Dave, you're talking about knowing the context. So I've had many students sometimes in individual conversations, and they've said something that's so foolish. And so I take a moment and say, make a comment about, I don't, you know, that doesn't seem wise, and give them some instruction. And sometimes they do not like it, you know. And so it's like the fool delights only in airing his own opinion. And so sometimes... there's this give and take where you exercise one proverb and then they demonstrate another proverb. And so the more we know about how to respond and then what does their response tell us, that can be helpful as well with our kids. I think one example might be when you're instructing your kids, maybe they've done something that was either sinful or foolish, and you give them instruction and try and give them correction, they can respond in different ways, right? Sometimes they can, and that they really want to, okay, well, that's, then you've got some one way to act, and then you've got the despising and, I'm not going to do that, you know, that's stupid. Well, not that your kids would ever say that, but so their responses can tell us. Okay, so what should be our goal, especially as we apply the Proverbs? What do you think? What's our goal out of these seven verses?
I think the first one is that we need to understand it ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and embrace it ourselves, and then secondarily impart it to others who need it.
Yeah. So understanding wisdom, imparting to others who need it. And the basis for all that as well is having a home where we all fear the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so that there's that foundation, building the fear of the Lord into your home, and then once we have that as a foundation, knowing and learning the wisdom of Proverbs and then passing it on to the youth, to the simple. Okay, now we're getting into some specifics. All right, I'm sure you may have real life examples of some of these proverbs as we read. So one of the common themes you'll see in Proverbs, and you can point out to your kids, is, and it's really clear sometimes with kids, just we want to make things simple, because reading to the Proverbs, if you read like a chapter of Proverbs, you might hit 15 different lessons. And so to help them know, what are we looking for? Right? When we read a proverb or Proverbs, what should you be listening for? Sometimes I tell my kids, this word's going to appear. I want you to know how many times it shows up. But here, right, we're going to see wisdom and we're going to see folly. All right. And so when you talk to your kids and when we teach them for Proverbs, we want to have them help form a picture. What does the fool and what does folly look like? What about the wise and what does wisdom look like? That way, in every proverb, no matter what it's talking about, whether it's wine or the adulterous woman or their friends or whatever, they can be learning about what would the foolish do and what would the wise. Okay, so let's just go through some of these. What do the proverbs teach about the difference between a wise and the foolish child? So we'll go around. Let's read some of these. So Levi, you want to start there with Proverbs 10:1.
Proverbs of Solomon: a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother.
Right, so we get the wise and we get the foolish, right? The wise son does what?
Makes a glad father.
Makes a glad father. And the foolish son is?
Cry.
Yeah, makes his mom cry.
That's the one that they don't want to talk about when they get the updates.
When they share about what's going on.
Yeah, how is he doing? Well, he has 2 years left on his sentence, but we're looking forward to him getting out. I mean, that's just something that's deeply
mm-hmm.
sorrowful, particularly mm-hmm. to the mother. Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. Cole, you want to get 10:23?
Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding.
What do you think about that one? What do we learn about the fool?
He thinks it's funny to do wrong.
Oh my.
That's like 90% of the boys in high school.
That's right. That's right. I read this, I think of most of my high school experience and many friends in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Just friends, though. Not
yeah, graffiti, vandalism, you know, it's all done and laughter. And
yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Ben, you want to get Proverbs 13:1?
Mm-hmm. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke.
So, how do we differentiate the wise and the foolish? What's the difference?
The wise listens to instruction. The fool
doesn't. Yeah. Yeah. So. It's a good way to show your kids whether or not they're wise or not is to look at maybe the last time you gave them instruction, right? Remember when I told you to do this? What did you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they did it, that was very wise. You know, when you encourage them, that was amazing. Remember last time we talked this,
mm-hmm.
and you did it. So that's one thing with Ben. He was, you know, recently he wasn't obeying the first time. You know, Chris would tell him to do something, he would. So we had some discipline, we talked about it, and so then the next time, when we said, hey, Ben, do this, and he, okay, you know,
mm-hmm.
oh, good job, that was very good, that was very wise, right? Just encouraging that was very wise.
You know, it's interesting, too, as, like, when they're young, you kind of create these environments where, when they act foolishly, you're the one who gives them the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And so they might think to themselves, well, the only reason why it's foolish is because of parents who discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as they get older, especially in the teenage time,
yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's the time where a lot of these proverbs make a lot more sense because they see
around
yeah.
them.
Around kids making their own decisions
mm-hmm.
and really reaping the consequences.
Yeah.
And so
it's a great plug to go to high school to see the
yeah.
foolishness.
That's true. But a lot of times they're tracking their friends,
yep.
right? Or their cousins or just
yeah.
people who are just making some really
yeah.
bad decisions. And that's it's often a teachable moment.
Yeah, and it's helpful in the sense that you can remind them. I think pointing that there's a danger we found where we can help our kids can become a little bit self-righteous.
Yep.
You know, if they've had some good training.
Sure.
And it's always good. It's a struggle to kind of point them to the grace of God. Like, isn't it good that God gave you parents who are believers who could teach you from the Word? Because if we didn't know this, we wouldn't have taught you this.
Yep.
And you would have been acting just like these kids. And so that's kind of a constant thing, is that as they learn and see the foolishness of others, to remind them, well, you know, don't get puffed up thinking you're wise in your own eyes.
Like, we have a situation where we know of a kid who got a bunch of scholarships to a university, and even though he was a real prodigious student,
mm-hmm.
you know, got high test scores. He lost all their scholarships because he failed a bunch of classes his first semester.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because he was staring at his iPhone the whole time. And we couldn't let that one go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is a real life consequence of somebody
mm-hmm.
that you know who went through this.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're telling you, get off the phone, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I think, but I agree, you don't want to make it so that you're self-righteous. But
right,
just,
but you're showing them.
But we're showing in the real world,
right.
This is what happened.
There's two ways to learn wisdom, from experience or from instruction. And I'd rather they learn from somebody else's
exactly.
experience and our instruction
yes.
rather than their own.
Yes. Yeah, and sometimes they don't listen to instruction, but sometimes they don't even listen to experience.
Yeah.
You know, you see.
That's true.
Are there some examples you guys can think of, things that your kids or you guys see around that are just clear examples that you can point to that are kind of easy fruit, like to show kind of wisdom issues? Like, think of your kids or maybe other kids they're around or environments they're in.
I know for my high school students, we had a couple of kids the last couple of years who basically dropped out, like not officially, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody kind of knew that's what they were doing. And my kids, like my students were able to see, like, wow, this person's life has really gone downhill and it started way back here. And, you know, that's good. You know, we don't want to be there. So this is what we're going to do differently when we're in
mm-hmm.
school.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much.
Our boys have kind of been going through a phase where they'll get mad and they'll just kind of take a cheap shot at the brother, you know, or
like me
doing whatever. And we were talking about it, and you know, I was like, you guys can hit each other now and nothing would probably happen other than a discipline from your mom, but what if dad was at work and just went up and hit somebody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That would have way bigger consequences.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that could happen if this is how you choose to solve your conflict.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah, because we always talk about that kind of thing. Well, you're little now, but a lot of these behaviors wouldn't be good. And the cost just gets bigger and bigger as they get older. Noah, you want to get Proverbs 15:5?
A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent.
Yeah, so we kind of get the same idea there to not just listening, but heeding the instruction. And then let's do Proverbs 15:20, Jared.
A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother.
Yeah, and this, it's real similar to the first one, but you even see kind of the difference between the attitude of the child towards the parent here.
So a lot of these proverbs, those types, one of my children
reached the prepubescent stage and decided I was an idiot. And so with this child, whenever this child would be giving me attitude, I would pull up really any of these, right?
Right.
And be like, just read this and find yourself in it.
Yeah. Where are you? Yeah.
Where are you? And say it out loud. What are you? I'm a fool. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
we don't want to be training them to be self-righteous.
Exactly.
Proverbs shows them.
Exactly.
I'm an idiot.
Yes.
I'm a fool.
Yeah.
Not my friend, me. Because I'm not listening to you telling me how to set the table or whatever
mm-hmm.
it is, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's a huge, I mean, that's a huge way that you can remember that we want to connect, like we're representatives of God. We want to connect our kids to God's authority. And that's what we're doing, you know. Same thing happened with Luke when he was little, you know. A wise man loves instruction, but whoever's stupid hates correction. What does that mean? I'm stupid. I hate correction. You know, I'm stupid. So he saw that, but he knew that I wasn't the one that was saying it. Like, this is what God says in the Proverbs. And so it's very, very powerful. The Proverbs are helping them to connect. How does God view you in certain situations
yeah.
when you act certain ways? Okay, let's work this side of the room over here. Let's talk about characteristics of foolishness. So what are the Proverbs, what are we talking about when we talk about the characteristics of a fool? So Sean, you want to get Proverbs there, 129?
Because they hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord.
Yeah, so there's kind of two things, right? What are we equating there? Yeah, knowledge and the fear of the Lord, right? So I think there's many people who would say that they love knowledge, but they don't want fear of the Lord. We're seeing that there's a link, a connection there. Jessica, what about Proverbs 17?
Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly.
Oh. Okay, what do you guys think about this? How would you...
Great description.
Any... observations, life experiences, right? Mm. Things you've seen around you that could illustrate. What is this telling us?
You're going to suffer some consequences.
If you, what?
Trying to help a fool in their folly.
Yeah, yeah. Even if it's like, I'm imagining you're in the forest and you just kind of stumble upon this bear, drop over cubs, like, oh, I got to get out. Right? Have you ever been around a really foolish person making a really foolish choice and you're like, I don't want to be any part of this. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. You might see somebody married to that foolish person. You know, who's just making these incredibly terrible decisions
mm-hmm.
and things. So there's,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes you can't run from them because that's your spouse.
Yeah.
Not my spouse.
Not your, no.
I've seen others.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is a definite, like you're saying, it's a huge opportunity to, it's almost like a warning and an instruction. Like you
yeah.
see your kids, they know someone who's just really doing something foolish,
mm-hmm.
and realize people are going to get hurt, there's going to be damage
yeah.
from this choice or these choices.
Yeah.
And trying to kind of, like you said, keep a safe distance, in other words, that sometimes you don't want to get caught up in the destruction.
And not just like for safety, but also reputation. Like, this is going to end badly. Everybody around this person is going to be implicated. I want to make it clear I was nowhere near
mm.
this.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot of that in Proverbs about how your surroundings and the people in your surroundings really do have a significant impact on
mm-hmm.
on you. Okay. Nicole, what about 18:6?
A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating.
Do you remember, Dave and I were having lunch, this was probably a decade ago, I don't remember. Dave, you remember we were in, I think it was Planet Sub, and we were eating, having lunch, and a guy comes in the front door, and he's staring down some guy, like, cooking, or at the back, at the counter. He's giving him this look, and he just starts yelling at him, like, come on, you know, like, he wants to fight, he's calling him names, you know, and everyone in the restaurant kind of stops, and he's just kind of taunting him, this inviting a fight, you know, inviting a beating. And the guy in the back, he didn't come out. And eventually the guy kind of walked out. I remember you said something like, that guy said a lot more about himself than he did about the guy he was berating mm-hmm. behind, right? Mm-hmm. That those words were kind of calling the beating to himself. And sometimes, one other story, there was a kid I had a few years ago, a senior, who was a pretty big kid, and he would mouth off to most of the kids in high school, a real smart, sharp-tongued kid. And he wasn't in class one day for a couple days. I'm like, what happened to so-and-so? Oh, he mouthed off to so-and-so, and he lost a couple teeth from he was inviting a beating, and eventually someone...
Everybody said, sure,
okay, sure. Yeah.
So, redneck justice.
Yeah, and it wasn't necessarily like the proverb. Not that that's, oh, that's good, bad, but that's just way things happen.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, what about Proverbs 29? What do we read there? You want to go ahead and get that?
A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back.
Yeah.
The wisdom and restraint.
Yes.
I mean, you read that proverb, and then you hear people say, I just need to vent.
Okay, find yourself.
find yourself.
I just need to vent. Okay.
Oh, man. There's so much, like, and this is your family, in your workplace. I mean, there's a lot of, in the church, there's a lot of opportunities to quietly hold it back, you know, think first, you know, but definitely with our kids and, you know, at home, there may be times where it just, right, it bursts out and we talk and what is always the defense? They did this, right, and then I just couldn't hold it in. So a lot of opportunities to talk about what does a fool do versus what would you do if you were wise.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about like differences between wisdom and folly, and then we get some more specific descriptions of those who are foolish. And the great thing about Proverbs is that oftentimes it doesn't just describe the foolish, and then it describes what are the consequences, right? What tends to happen as a result. So let's kind of read through some of these. So Proverbs 1:32, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. So what is it that, what's the consequence here? What happens to them?
Death and destruction.
They are killed and destroyed. And what were their actions that led to their being killed and being destroyed?
Simplicity and complacency.
Yeah, turning away, complacency.
I think about people who go down the road of addictions and how that's just true of them. I mean, they just passively allow themselves to, and this drug and that culture have just a greater hold of their lives and
mm-hmm.
just descend into debauchery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's sometimes when we read, we study too much about fools, it's like all the, we're kind of can be depressing thinking about all the foolish.
Yeah, and it's true.
Around us. And so sometimes we'll see them, like in the Proverbs 29:11, sometimes we'll see the author will give it a little bit of hope, like, but the wise will do this, right? And we'll talk about the wise, right? We're giving the bad news before the good news, right? Just like the gospel. So we're talking about the fools. Let's flip over and look at Proverbs 5:22-23. Dave, you want to read that?
The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray.
I should have a lot of examples as a teacher. Like the ensnaring, held fast in the cords. I remember one of the things I sometimes do is I give out tests that look the same, but the numbers within the problems and the variables are different. So if you're 2 feet away at a desk, it's the same test. So I had a student that had just lots of right answers to the other test that was next to him. And I talked to him, how'd you get this answer? You know, I said, one-on-one, he's, well, you know, I just thought of it out and, you know, worked it out in my head. Came out like, okay, well, that's the answer. See, this is a different test. And the person next to you had that test. And this answer is the right answer to that test. But it's completely wrong on your test. Okay, you know, like, he was ensnared by his foolish choices. And there wasn't any way for him to get out. And so just teaching your kids when they make those foolish choices, like, look, you did this. There's a lot of evidence, right? There's no way out of it. Let's go Proverbs 10:1. Let's keep going. Levi, you guys want to get that one?
Yeah, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is sorrow to his mother.
Yeah, so again, the consequence is that when they act foolish, what happens?
Mama is sad.
Yeah. And you could probably say about both, right? Yeah. A wise son makes the mother and father glad.
Yeah.
And the foolish son is a sorrow to his mother and father.
It's supposed to be more hurtful, I guess, when your mom's sad.
Oh, to the audience?
Yeah, I
guess. Yeah, yeah. You hurt your mom.
Yeah.
You made your mama cry.
Yeah.
All right, let's do Proverbs 17:21. Let's look at that one.
He who sires a fool gets himself sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy.
Ooh. So who are we talking to here? Yeah, ouch. Right? So kind of some motivation that, like, part of them, you know, being a fool may have involvement here. Are you going to sire a fool? Okay. Leah, you want to get 17:25?
Sure. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him.
Right? So it brings what?
Grief and bitterness.
Grief and bitterness. Okay. Noah, what about 19:13?
A foolish son is ruined to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual drippery.
You got to add a little chuckle in there.
Yeah. Picture of a family hell for a man.
A foolish son and a quarreling wife.
Yeah.
Or a quarreling husband. But
yeah, and you can reverse it.
You can reverse it. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So, and that's, it's nice too, because, you know, whether we have kids or not, this wisdom is something that we can apply to ourselves, yeah. But it's something, there's a lot of the even husbands to wives wisdom that can be taught here. But we see, yeah, we've seen grief, bitterness, ruin, the continual dripping of rain. We have a skylight that leaks. It's our master bathroom, and so if it rains really hard, we've been trying to get it fixed. Rain to her, it started this, and we're like, okay, you don't want to put a trash can under it because then it goes drip, 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 drip. It's even louder. So we have all these. We need to get them fixed. Okay, let's hit these last two before we end today. So, Proverbs 20. Jared, you want to get...
If one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness.
Mm-hmm. Yow. And Proverbs 30:17.
The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures.
Oh, find yourself in this proverb. You see that bird out there? Our kids always know if something has died around the property, if we buried something, like, oh, there's a bunch of birds circling above. So, needless to say, there's plenty in the Proverbs to give real warning and description of foolishness, of folly. And that's one thing that's definitely not really going to be found, right, most of the time outside of the church and outside of biblical wisdom. Folly is celebrated. It's, this is what's fun, you know, have as much fun as you can. There's really no, the one thing that people don't want to talk about is any sort of negative impact of their choices.
Or even the suffering they're currently enduring. They like to hide that.
Yes. Yeah. It's just, we can only talk about either what really is good or what we're pretending is good or what is bad but we think is good, right? We want to give everything. Can't say anything's bad. So we want to make sure we fill them up with helping them know what is foolish, what does it look like, what are the consequences of it, and then next week we'll start talking about wisdom. You can start before that if you want.
Yes.
But we will start talking about wisdom. So let me pray for us, and then we'll continue on. God, we give you thanks for your word and for the description of why you've given us the Proverbs, and pray that you might help us to be men and women who fear you, that we fear you in our marriages, that we fear you as parents, and that fear is something that we endeavor to pass on to our children, to know that you are the Lord and you reign over the earth. And as we study your word and as we study the Proverbs, help us to see for our own lives and for our children's lives the warnings that you've given us. Help us to interpret the life and the consequences and the people around us through the wisdom and the grid and the lens of your word, so we can understand foolishness and wisdom. I pray that you'd help us to impart this wisdom to our kids, to protect them from learning by experience, but let them learn rather from the wisdom and teaching of instruction. I pray that you'd be with us to continue to worship and give glory to you today in your name.